Good morning. My name's Peter, and I'm a Christian. Is that what we're saying now? That's great. Let's declare it. Thank you. Wonderful. If you are a visitor and here for the first time, it is great to have you with us at Aylsham Community Church. You join us. This year we have been going through the book of John in the Bible, the Gospel of John. So you join us going through that series, and this morning we get up to chapter 5. So if you've got a Bible with you or a Bible app on your phone and you want to follow along, that's where we're heading to this morning, John chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at the first 15 verses. As has already been said this morning, that you may be here this morning and you may be suffering in some kind of way. You may have some kind of sickness or disease or pain yourself. And as we look at this scripture this morning, as we hear these testimonies, as we spend time worshiping in God's presence this morning, I just want you to be open to what Jesus can do in your life. Just let faith build up in you this morning. Faith for your healing. And if you're here this morning and you're not suffering in any kind of way, you don't have any kind of sickness or pain, then praise God for that, but allow faith to rise up in you for healing for other people this morning. Okay? Allow God to speak to you this morning as we unpack his word together this morning. And in fact, what you might find that as we look at God's word this morning, because it is alive and active and powerful, that some of you may even find that you're being healed as we look at God's word this morning. So just be open to that. In fact, I'm going to pray right now. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the stories we've already heard this morning. We thank you for Anne's testimony of your touch upon her life for healing. We thank you for Vicky's story. We thank you for her testimony of you healing her. We thank you for that acknowledgement of the doctor that it was as if she'd never had cancer. We thank you that your healing is complete. And as we look at your word now, will you come by your Holy Spirit? Will you move amongst us? Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. Will you come and do what only you can do? Will you bring healing to people this morning? We speak to every sickness and every disease and every cancer and every pain in this place this morning, and we command you to go in the name of Jesus. Healing come. In Jesus' name, for his glory, we pray. Amen. Amen. So as already been said at the end of my talk, in about 25 minutes' time, there's going to be an opportunity for anybody that would like to receive prayer for healing, to come forward for prayer for healing. So that's where we're heading this morning. We're going to look at this story and see what the Bible has to say and how Jesus healed people, and then offer the opportunity to pray if you would like that. But how we're going to look at this story now is we're going to watch a short video that just tells this story. Okay, so have a look at the screen.
After this, Jesus went to Jerusalem for a religious festival. Near the Sheep Gate in Jerusalem, there is a pool with five porches. In Hebrew, it is called Bethesda. A large crowd of sick people were lying on the porches. The blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. A man was there who had been sick for 38 years. Jesus saw him lying there and he knew that the man had been sick for such a long time.
Do you want to get well?
Sir, I don't have anyone here to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm trying to get in, somebody else gets there first.
Get up. Pick up your mat and walk.
Immediately, the man got well. He picked up his mat and started walking. The day this happened was a Sabbath, so the Jewish authorities told the man who had been healed,
"This is a Sabbath, and it is against our law for you to carry your mat."
"The man who made me well told me to pick up my mat and walk."
"Who is the man who told you to do this?"
But the man who had been healed did not know who Jesus was, for there was a crowd in that place, and Jesus had slipped away. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple.
"You're well now. So stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you."
Then the man left and told the Jewish authorities that it was Jesus who had healed him.
Excellent. It worked in the end. Superb. So although we're only going to look at 15 verses of the Bible this morning, there's just so much content in there and so much detail in these verses that we can talk about that actually we're not going to have the time to unpack everything in here. So you may be left this morning wondering about a few things and have a few questions, and that's okay. You can go home and do some further study yourself or look into these things, or if you have questions and you want to come and ask me or one of the other elders afterwards, then that would be great. You're very welcome to do that, and we'll try and help you in any way we can and answer any questions you may have. So just to let you know, I'm not going to be able to go into detail in everything this morning, but the way we're going to look at this morning is that we're going to look at one man, two healings, and three things that Jesus said. So I'm going to go through the story again and draw these things out. And I'm going to do it from my Bible, which is the ESV translation, which just uses slightly different words and phrases to what we saw, what we heard in the video there. So don't worry about that. It's the same story. So here we go. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. And in these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. So you get the picture here, don't you? That there's a multitude of people, a great crowd. Now, perhaps the video didn't quite do that justice, and they could only afford a certain amount of actors. But the Bible tells us there's a multitude of people, that there is a great crowd. And what they all have in common is that they're all ill. That they're all invalids in some way. Some are blind, some are lame, and some are paralyzed. But for some reason, they're gathering around this pool. They have come together and they meet there on a daily basis. So what is it about this pool? What is special about this pool? What is special about this water here? Well, the conversation later on between the man and Jesus tells us what the man is expecting and what he hopes to happen. He says to Jesus, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going down, another steps down before me." So there's something about the man is desperate to get into the water, is desperate to get into this pool. But why? What is it? What is it that's drawing this crowd there? Well, the answer is in verse 4. Now, if you have a modern translation of the Bible, you have now discovered that verse 4 is missing. And you go straight from verse 3 to verse 5. If you have an older translation, you may have verse 4. But if verse 4 was in your Bibles, and it may be in your footnotes, it will say something like this: "For an angel of the Lord went down at certain times to the pool and stirred the water. Whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was healed of whatever disease he had." So this is why the great crowd was there, why the multitude of sick people were there gathered around this pool, because they had this belief that there was an angel being sent from God who was stirring the water up with some big spoon or something, I don't know, and that whoever stepped down first after the waters had been stirred up was healed. And you've got to think, there must have been some kind of truth in that. Otherwise, why would these people be there? Why would they continue to gather day after day? There must have been something about this pool. Was it an angel? Was it God? Don't know. But something was drawing the people there. Some kind of healing must have happened. Otherwise, why would they be there? But in the midst of this great crowd and all these sick people, there is one man. The story is about one man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. Now, that's all we know about this man. The Bible doesn't tell us anything else about this man. We know that he's an invalid, that he's paralyzed in some way. We don't know if he's 38 years old and that he's been paralyzed for his whole life from birth. Or if he's a bit older and something happened to him during his life and that he's been paralyzed for 38 years. We don't know. But we know he is there. And that he is there expectant and hoping to get into that pool and be healed. And then comes Jesus. When Jesus saw him lying there, and knew that he had already been there a long time, Jesus comes into the crowd and something just draws his attention to this man. He sees the man lying there and he knew. He knew. Jesus has that ability of looking at people, looking into their lives and knowing everything there is to know. And if you're here this morning, and if you're suffering in some way this morning, some kind of sickness, pain, or disease, well, let me reassure you that Jesus has seen you and Jesus already knows. Jesus already knows. And then we come to the first thing that Jesus says. Jesus said to the man, "Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed?" Now, that may not be the first question that we may ask. You might ask, well, what's your name? But Jesus says, "Do you want to be healed?" And the man doesn't even give a straight answer. He doesn't even say just yes. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me." We've already read that. What's he saying by that? What's the answer? What's the response that the man's giving? Well, the response that the man is giving is, well, look, I'm here at this pool. There's a great crowd here. There's healing here. I'm desperate to get in there to receive healing myself. But I just can't get into the pool. Do I want to be healed? Of course I want to be healed. I've been here day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year for 38 years. I'm longing to be healed. But it's a great question. And it's a great question for us to think about as well. Do you want to be healed? Now, many of you will know that I was recently diagnosed with colitis, a form of irritable bowel disease. And I had an examination, and they told me that they thought that this is what it was, but they did some other tests as well and some biopsies and things. And it wasn't until weeks later when I got a letter through from the consultant that they confirmed the results of the biopsies and examination and everything and confirmed, yes, I had got colitis. Now, in those weeks in between the examination and receiving that confirmation in that letter, I don't know that I had faith for my own healing. Because I wasn't sure what it was. There was just something in me. There's something, just a bit of a barrier. And sometimes we can have these barriers. So it's a great question that Jesus asks. We wouldn't expect anything less. Do you want to be healed? And Jesus says the same to us this morning. He sees us, he knows us, and he asks us, do you want to be healed? And then Jesus carries on the conversation. After receiving this response from the man, he carries on and gives him an instruction. Now, it's perhaps, again, not the instruction that we would expect or says, you know, what we would say. Jesus doesn't say what we would perhaps say. The man explains how he's desperate to get into the pool and receive his healing after 38 years. And perhaps our response would be, if we were in that situation with the man, okay, great, next time the waters get stirred up, I'm going to help you. But instead of that, Jesus says, get up, take up your bed, and walk. And when Jesus speaks, he speaks with the power and the authority of heaven. And at once, the man was healed. And he took up his bed and he walked. He had received his healing. He was hoping for it in the pool, in the waters, and getting in there. But along comes Jesus, who speaks these simple words, and healing comes. And the healing was immediate in this case. Our thinking, our society today and the way we live our lives, we would expect, again, something different, wouldn't we? We would expect that if someone's been paralyzed and unable to move for 38 years, that person would need kind of months, maybe even years of physiotherapy, learning how to walk again and getting the muscles working again and strengthening the muscles. But again, the healing here was immediate for this man. Now, is that always the case? Vicky touched on this earlier. It's not always the case. It's one of the great mysteries of God in the way that healings work. My own experience of this, a number of years ago, I had about a dozen warts on my hand. And I was thinking about making an appointment to go and see the doctor, and I thought, no, actually, if I believe in a God who heals, then I can pray for myself and pray for these warts to go. And I did that. And immediately, nothing happened. And for the rest of the day, nothing happened. And I went to bed that night, and those warts were still there. But I woke up the next morning and they were completely gone. They were completely gone. The timing, we don't know. It's a great mystery. But for this man, he was healed at once. he took up his bed and walked. He was obedient in his healing. He did exactly as Jesus told him to do. He got up and he stepped into his healing. There wasn't anything else he could do. His situation before that was that he was totally paralyzed, laying on the bed, and he couldn't do anything. He didn't even have the strength to be able to get himself into that pool when the water stirred. He wasn't able to do anything for himself, just like a baby, just like a small child. He wasn't able to do anything for himself. And so, like a small child, like a baby, then that's how we are to come to God ourselves, totally reliant on him. He's the one who heals. Jesus heals. Now that day was the Sabbath, and so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed did not know it was who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn and there was a crowd in the place. This is one of those areas that we don't have time to go into this morning about this whole conversation with the Jews and this whole thing about carrying a bed on the Sabbath and what that means. So you can do some study on that yourselves or ask about that later. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. When the man was asked who it was that healed him, he didn't know. He didn't know it was Jesus. He didn't know who this man was who said, "Get up and walk," and where the power for his healing had come from. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not sure who this Jesus is. But as we've already seen, he has seen you and he knows you. And he is working in your life already. Just as he was working in the life of this man and bringing healing to him before he even knew who he was, he's doing the same for me and for you and for all of us. Jesus is alive and working in our lives. Now, why did Jesus withdraw? Why did Jesus not reveal who he was or tell this guy his name? Well, it said that Jesus withdrew because there was a crowd in that place. We've already talked about that, haven't we? But this crowd comes into significance again, this multitude of sick people. And you can imagine the scene, can't you, that there's this great crowd around this pool who put all their hope and in the healing and the stirring of those waters and what's going on there. And suddenly, they see this man who they've been ignoring for 38 years, who no one has bothered to help get into that pool. They see him talking to this stranger, and suddenly he is healed. And he's up and he's walking around. Now, if I was part of that crowd and in that place at that time, I think my attention would be suddenly diverted from those waters that are bubbling away down there to who this stranger was. And I think if Jesus had remained in that place, that he could have healed everybody who was there. But Jesus decides not to. He decides to withdraw from the crowd so that there isn't a commotion. And I think the reason why he decides to withdraw from the crowd is because he hasn't finished with this man yet. And we see that in the next verses. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." It's the third thing that Jesus said. See, Jesus' heart was to pursue this man, was to find him again and to finish what he'd already started. The man had received his physical healing, but Jesus still had more for him. In fact, when Jesus finds him, the first thing he says is, "Look, see, you are well. You've received your physical healing. You are completely well. You are walking again. You are no longer paralyzed. It was immediate. It's happened. It's good news. It's worth celebrating. But then Jesus goes on to say something else. He goes on to say, sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. Now, what on earth could Jesus be talking about here that could be worse than being paralyzed for 38 years? What could be worse than that? Well, the truth is that even though this man was paralyzed for 38 years, that sickness was only temporary. It had a start point and it had an end point. And he did receive his healing, his physical healing. When Jesus says, sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you, well, what's worse than that long 38 years of illness and sickness would be an eternity in hell, an eternity separated from God. And how does that separation happen between God and this man? By the sins that he might commit, by the things that he may get wrong, the things that he might do that goes against God's plan and purpose for his life. That would lead to a separation between man and God. And an eternity that doesn't bear thinking about. But God provides him, Jesus provides him with the answer. Jesus' invitation to him is to sin no more. And we know the end story of that, don't we? In a month's time, we're going to be celebrating Easter together. First, we're going to be thinking about looking at Good Friday and the cross. It's already been mentioned this morning, where Jesus gave his life for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that's why Jesus came to this world, to die on a cross, to pay the penalty for our sins, for everything that we've ever got wrong, for the way we live our lives that isn't according to God's plan and purpose for our lives. And because it was a real event in history, and Jesus actually died on that cross, his body was taken down and it was placed in a tomb which was sealed. Jesus was placed among the dead. And after 3 days, by the power of heaven, Jesus was raised to life again. Not only had he conquered death on the cross, but he'd also, sin on the cross, but he'd also conquered death. And he now reigns on his throne at the right hand of the Father in heaven above. And because he's conquered death, he can't die again. He will live for all eternity. And his invitation to me and to you today is to spend eternity with him in heaven. And we can do that by sinning no more, by saying, no, I'm going to make a decision to not live my life the way I've always lived it, but to say sorry to God, to turn around, to fix my eyes on Jesus, and live the life that he's got for me, according to his plans and purposes for my life, so that I can have this hope of spending eternity with him in heaven, so that nothing worse may happen to me. When the man realized this and understood this, not only had he received a physical healing from Jesus, but he'd received a second healing as well, a spiritual healing. His very soul was healed. And in his excitement, the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. who had healed him completely, who had healed him physically and spiritually, because that's the healing that Jesus offers. Jesus, as we've heard this morning, I've actually heard this twice, it came up in our prayers before the service, and Ruth prayed it out at the beginning of the service. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the healing that Jesus brought to this man, that he picked out of the crowd, is on offer for us today. And that's good news. That's good news. Amen. So we're going to pray now.